Welcome, everyone.
I'll tell you what, it's close.
And we are recording.
Like a record show, Councilman Smiley's been a gentleman.
You take a picture because it'll last longer.
He's always a gentleman.
All right. As you mentioned a few seconds ago, we are recording. So welcome to the Executive Committee meeting Tuesday, September 4th. Call to order the meeting. We have Councilman Smiley, Councilman Patrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Reda, Councilman Wyman, Councilwoman Miller, Councilman Reda, Abe Grant Firestone, and myself.
Morty Wood. There's only one Councilman Reda. That's Councilman Bell.
No one ever.
Both Italian, you know.
Just say the two names. I'd like to say thank goodness.
Just say the two names, boys.
There's so many things.
That was pretty good, actually.
Well, my apologies to both Councilman and Councilman. I'd like to have a motion.
What do you say?
Motion for the approval of the minutes.
Second.
Motion approving this. The meeting August 21st. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. I do smell the food next door. Moving on, the interview. First of all, I'd like to invite Patricia Purnell for the Human Resources Advisory Board. Please join us at the table. And we do have your resume, which I believe Grant circulated. But tell us a little about yourself, and we thank you for serving, or you're interested in serving. Tell us a little bit about why you want to serve.
Absolutely. Again, my name is Patricia Purnell. I'm currently started a new role in Kennett Square with Exelon Corporation as their HR strategist for recruiting. And I have a background in staffing and recruiting, as well as HR generalist in several positions. I've worked also with a nonprofit in Newcastle County. I'm working very diligently to build alliances and partnerships within the area and community with regards to our initiatives. The reason I'd like to serve is be able to partner with the county and its initiatives related to human resources, and with my background and my experience, I thought it'd be a great opportunity to network and to build other alliances, and also to serve my county as well.
Well, thank you. And you mentioned you just started a new position. You'll still have time to pursue the Human Resources Advisory Board as well.
That's the excellent thing of this, because what I did was, before even going into the interviews, I actually spoke with Glenn about it. We actually spoke to my leadership team with regards to it, and they're excited for this opportunity to have me serve as a part of this board. So this is great for me.
Well, thank you very much. From your resume, we are lucky to have you apply for this position. Thank you for taking the time, and thank you for your willingness to serve. Any questions, comments, members of council? The other Councilman Reda, I mean Councilman Bell.
Oh, Councilman Smiley.
Councilman
Street had his hand up first.
The other Councilman Reda. I mean Councilman Street is also here. Councilman Street.
Well, I guess we're making history again today, because it's the second time that you and I are in complete agreement on something.
Plus, we have to go.
Fantastic. Always enjoy hearing that, Councilman Street. Councilman Bell.
Okay. Just to add what you had stated, Mr. President, very pleased to have Patricia come on board on the HR Advisory Committee. And I don't know what it is, but we got a lot of connections with Wilmington University, with several of the folks. We've been very pleased with some of the folks that either teach or involved with Wilmington University. But very similar to what the President said. I think you look at your resume, your community involvement, and your willingness to serve. We just really appreciate it and welcome you aboard.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Dillard.
I'll just say thanks for serving. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Councilman Spiler.
And on the lighter side, since we haven't heard anything in a couple of months, do the lights from the sport field at Red Lion Christian Academy shine on your house?
Yes, they do.
Okay, I was just curious.
That wasn't what he was hoping for.
You didn't hear your councilman?
I'll hook you up with your councilman.
There's your councilman.
Yeah.
The other Mr. Reda.
The other Mr. Reda. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Any other questions, comments from Councilman Weiner?
Thank you. I just want to observe that
unlike others that might serve on any of the boards, you're certain to continue to keep current with the law that applies in HR, in the field of HR. And I would just ask you as a board member, as I do others, to please don't hesitate to ask our county law department to keep the board apprised of developments in the legal field that apply to HR.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments for Ms. Purnell? Any questions, comments from the public? Ms. Beattie.
Yes, Lynn Beattie, Chief Human Resources Officer. We're delighted to have Patricia come on board. Greg Wilson, Helen McKinley, and I actually interviewed her, had a little chat with her, and we were really pleased with her background and experience, and I believe she'll be a welcome addition to the Human Resources Advisory Board. So we thank you for your service and your willingness.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Any other questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none, I'd like to thank Ms. Purnell for your willingness to serve, and we look forward to your service to the county. Thank you. Next up, we have Terry Hale for an internship with Councilwoman Diller. Please join us at the table. Please introduce yourself and turn the floor over to Councilwoman Diller to make any introductory remarks.
Okay, my name is Terry Hale, and I'll be working with Dr. Diller on her project.
Councilwoman Diller.
And Ms. Hale is a student in the Social and Behavioral Sciences Department. I teach in that department at Wilmington University, and I've had this sort of vision of a project that I would like to have done. Something, we've had requests from constituents about youth services in the district. And so shortly, about 60 seconds after meeting Ms. Hale, Renee and I realized she was the perfect person to pull this together. One is she's already done a similar project for her colleagues at Wilmington University on the issue of domestic violence in terms of putting together a resource manual. So what we hope to do, and what she has bravely taken on, is the idea of doing a listing of youth services by zip code so that it would be searchable within a Word document, focusing on, you know, basically aftercare and summer activities for children and youth. And so what we hope to have is something that can be turned into a PDF that can be put on, you know, it can be on my section of the website, but people would be free to print it off, share it with their constituents. It's also something that if we have it by zip code, we know we can update it, you know, down the line. But Terry has been gracious enough to be willing to step into this, and so Renee and I have already met with her. We've already talked about a format. She's working with us. She's officially doing an internship through the Social and Behavioral Sciences Department. So I filled out the paperwork. She will probably be working off-site. She will be here on occasion. I would certainly like her to attend any meetings that she would find helpful. I would like to introduce her and get some information to her about various programs and folks over at Community Services, because I think that will just give her a broader picture of what's going on in the county. But it's really a pleasure to have her, and we practically started her last week, well, about 2 minutes after we met her. And Councilman Smiley, just so you know, she is one of your constituents, so you are the lucky council person. Although, I'm trying to get her to move to the 5th district. So
to the greater Newark.
To greater Newark.
You do realize she's lucky as well.
Oh, yes.
Although she's helping in the greater Newark area.
I really appreciate this opportunity. I think it's going to open up a lot of doors, as you said, for yourself to provide resources for especially people like myself. I'm a single parent, and it's always been difficult to try and find aftercare and summer care programs that were appropriate and that I could afford. So I think this is really a great opportunity to help a lot of the constituents in the Newcastle County.
That's great. And Councilwoman Diller, did you say that she'd be earning credit for this internship?
Yes, she will. Social and behavioral sciences have a really great program where you do, you can do 3 credits and up to, I think, 15 credits. You might even be able to do it in the same semester. But she is, Terry is finishing her last semester. So this is a nice way, and part of what she's going to be able to do is informational interviews with, say, folks at nonprofits to get a better idea of some of these services. So I said, you know, this is kind of wide open. We want the resource manual, but there are opportunities for her to meet with folks and to learn more about services and opportunities in New Castle County as she completes her degree. So it's, I'm really excited about it.
As long as you tell us it's not going to interfere with your 4.0 GPA.
Nothing. No, I can't say that. I will manage my time quite wisely as I have in order to acquire that 4.0.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. Councilman Weiner?
Thank you.
Yeah, but I want to congratulate you as well. It's a real need that we have in the challenge that you're facing. I think that Wilmington University provides excellent education. Sort of bias, my daughters have both attended in between their college stints. And I think working with a council person like Councilwoman Diller, with her background, should serve you well. I had a similar service working with the Christina Cultural Arts Center and Councilman Joe Biden when I was a University of Delaware political science major. And it helped me to meet a lot of folks. I didn't know I was going to end up on county council years later. But the contacts she'll make will serve you well.
I believe they will help a lot. As you mentioned, I'm also an advocacy for domestic violence, so that kind of helps a little bit, too.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Councilman Street?
Well, I think what you're doing is great. I'm also fearful of what you're going to find. Hope I'm wrong, but I think you're going to find, there's a possibility you're going to find that there is not that many services, not as much service as we think and we need. The fact of the matter is services to children have become less and less cost effective. Folks are going out of business, daycare centers are going out of business. Folks really don't have a financial incentive to do this work. And if that's the case, I hope you document that and bring that forward so that we can look elsewhere and make the case that there's a decline in services in the arena that needs to be addressed.
Councilwoman Dillon?
You're right. And as a matter of fact, Terry and I were talking about that before this meeting, that we are concerned about where we're going to find services and where we won't. One thing we decided to do is not to look at daycare centers at this point. You know, we felt like a lot of times the crunch time comes for parents when they've got kids in school and they're working. Sometimes schools have after-school programs, sometimes they don't. You know, I just think that if we can at least begin to document this stuff, and like we said, we were sort of strategizing on the way we want to do this. We're going to do it in a Word document by zip code so that, you know, if we need to add something with a Word document, you can just put it, you know, we can update it, but at least it's a place to start. I've had questions from my constituents, and just having it in a place where they can print it out, or I can print out the pages that would apply to their zip code, it just seems to me like this would be a nice service to be able to offer people. And I think you're right, we'll begin to get some answers as to where there's services and where there's some gaps in services.
And I don't have any scientific data to make this argument, but what I'm seeing on the surface is, as relates to before and after school care, 5, 6, 7 parents are going on and do what they have to do to see to it that the kids are taken care of before and after school. 9 and 12, because of the economy, because of the financial factor. Oh, I'll call home, I'll raise saying you better behave till I get there, which that's the age that really needs to be supervised.
That's a really good point, and we'll see what we've got, you know, as we go through. You know, maybe we can use this as a way to identify gaps in services and we can take a look. But I just felt like the first thing we need to do is get it is to document where the services are, and then we could begin to look at where we need to go with some of this.
Well, I thank and commend both of you for that.
Well, Terry is definitely the right person to do this.
Well, and I would, we've done this before with other interns and things. I would ask that we use this, or the council to try to use this as a model for welcoming interns into council. Regardless of whatever happens in November, I'll be continuing my association with Wilmington University. And they're really looking to get their students real life experience. They want to come into council. They want to come into the legislature. So if we can use this as a model for getting those students who are really desiring this experience for whatever reason.
Well, you were laying groundwork for an internship.
Really, I mean, let's be open as a council to these type of opportunities, because I think we'll all, you know, at council will greatly benefit from these opportunities. So thank you, Councilwoman Diller, for bringing this forward, and let's keep those lines of communication open.
Thanks. And thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate
nice
your,
all of you.
Ms. Hale, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jewish Federation has opportunities.
Yeah, well, I think we did before. We'll make a motion to approve the internship.
Yes, that would be good.
We've had a motion to approve the internship. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
At the usual rate of pay.
At the usual rate of pay. Well, it's good 10%. That she's getting credit for this, so.
Bump her up 10%.
Okay. Well, use your credit wisely.
All right.
End up in foreclosure.
Moving on, next item on the agenda. We've had some issues regarding members of council have come with issues regarding our communication system. We need to do this discussion in the public in light of existing FOIA requests and without discussion of any particular FOIA request. So let's have this discussion in an open manner without discussing anything that could have anything related to future litigation or potential litigation. Councilman Weiner.
It's easy for me to do. I guess it was about 12 years ago, I broached a subject with council. I'm glad that Councilman Smiley has put it on the agenda again.
Well, let me clarify. You said that earlier, but actually, Councilman Hollins asked for it to be on the agenda at the request of some other council members, who I guess shall remain nameless.
Okay.
It's there. That's all that
matters. I think it's a good policy for county council as a separate and equal branch of government to make sure that there are protections in terms of the confidentiality of our communications as between us as a branch, so that we can function with the executive branch, yet we still need their support and at the same time, so we need to find a way to sort of bridge that gap.
And again, I'll let Councilman Smiley speak further on this if he wants to.
Well, I'm just going to say, because I spoke a little earlier, I spoke with Councilman Hollins, and I read the documents that were provided to us previously as to the prior study. You know, cost factor is always something for me. I mean, I know this can be a big cost factor, but at the same time, we need to have access to stuff on the other side. So, I mean, I don't know where we go with this, whether we get our policy advisor and IS together to work together, recognizing what we've read in the paper lately about wiretapping within groups and everything else. I don't know enough about it. I'd like to see if there's a potential where you can have, whether we had to hire someone from the outside to put in a firewall, a one-way firewall, where if someone went to access our data, without retrieving a necessary password from clerk of accounts or whoever, that it would set off an alarm in our system. Something as, and I'm going to say minor as that, although I'm sure it's not that simple, whether that's something we want to look at. I mean, to totally break it, the information, you know, apart, I don't think we can do that with the information that we need to access on the other side. But again, I've said before, when I was hired by the people of the 7th District and met with HR, I signed two documents that are very memorable with me. I didn't really care. One was granting access to my emails at any time, and the other was granting access to my phone records. That being said, is our mind. So I just think it's something that we need to look at least so we can have some feeling of confidentiality between each other when we're sending emails. or whatever.
Right. So. And I think that's the sentiment among most members of council, whether we need a separate system or not. We do, at the very, very minimum, need to have an independent means of protecting our information so somebody from the outside, whether that, and the outside defined being outside of this council or our bodies, accesses that information. Any other comments? Councilman Redden?
Thank you. Has anybody looked at, I mean, I know it's been, might not have been brought up too much here, but out of the room, so to speak, about a separate system. Has anyone looked at the price?
I call on our clerk of council.
Betsy Gardner, clerk of council. I'm just passing on that Jim Boyle, policy director, is going to be working or has made started making inquiries on how much it would cost to separate it and that kind of thing. He's not here today and hasn't gotten any information back in terms of the cost. And then he is looking into it.
Please.
Greg Wilson, county attorney. Maybe I can provide some legal observations that may help narrow your discussions. First of all, as I've told you a number of times, based on some of the court law that there is, as well as FOIA, any idea that your emails are confidential with regard to the public is probably not something you should believe, because we are open to FOIA. We are also open to discovery. The court rules require whenever any of you get sued or when the county gets sued, and that's why we have a discovery system. We are required, and you've gotten these letters that say you need to preserve every document. Well, in addition to that, the county has an obligation to preserve. And whether it's county council preserving, or it's the county as a whole preserving, or two separate branches of government, you have to preserve them. And then if there's a lawsuit and you're involved and discovery heads in that direction, then somebody has to search those emails. And this is done by a system we call Discovery Accelerator. It's a very limited system. There are only a few people that can do it. Carol Doolin is one of them, although she's probably forgotten how. I've forgotten how. But with the assistance of IS, we can initiate a search based on a particular case for particular search items. Usually the opposing counsel and the defense counsel have to agree on what the search items are. Those search items are entered, and then it returns a bunch of documents. And then somebody has to actually go through the documents and see if any of them are privileged, attorney-client, and so forth. So this is the system, plus the system logs in any time a search is done. So if counsel is concerned about there being a number of these kind of searches, one of the things we could do is have counsel to counsel review the Discovery Accelerator occasionally to see if there are any unauthorized searches. But there aren't. They're done very, very infrequently. They're very burdensome. And in the event we have a separate system, that means you also have to have a separate system to maintain it, and you also have to have a separate system to search. So somebody has to do all that.
Greg, we call on Councilman Smiley here.
Yeah, I'm personally not looking for a separate system myself, but archiving isn't the issue. It's accessing without knowledge of council. And I understand maybe we can set something up, which would be fine. Council to council could access from you, but bottom line is the point being, and that would, I guess, show if someone outside or whatever, but still, there should be an approval on our part. And a little chuckle for me, I understand that all emails are, not all, but most emails are supposed to be public record. That's what I thought when the Attorney General refused to allow me to access to one from the prior county executive. So I may have some that would fall under that purview as well.
Councilman Weiner?
Of course I want to hear what Carol has to do, but I do recall in response to the question, the study that was done 12 years ago by then policy director, and the server for county council at that point for a staff of 50 people to 100 people would have cost $14,000 or thereabouts, and then we could have had someone coming in and serving us a couple days a week. The upside to that would be we're all charged about $100,000 in what's called back charges, in terms of whether we like it or not. in terms of the county budget. And I realize, you know, they just sort of cost average everybody. You got to pay Peter or Paul one way or the other, so I recognize that that's a downside. But agreeing with everything the county attorney has said, we're a separate and equal branch of government, and we should make sure that we have the right to insulate ourselves from unauthorized accessing of our emails. The whole reason why we have, for example, separate council to council is recognition of the fact that there can be, believe it or not, conflicts of interests between the executive and legislative branch, and county councils for decades have recognized that fact, which is why they established a separate office here.
Carol Dolan?
Carol Dolan, council to council. Recognizing what Greg said in the context of discovery, I did want everyone to know that when Councilmember Peterson's law was passed, that there was a specific section on emails, and that specific section stated that the public body that was defined alternatively as the executive or the legislative branch must conduct its own internal search for documents. There are a couple of reasons for that. One of them is obviously a recognition of the separation of powers, but the second reason is for the economy of scale. The clerk of council, the deputy clerk of council, myself, other people on the staff can use a search engine to look for a word and come up with an answer. What we received was a pile of documents this large, something like 1,000 pages of documents that were duplicates of sending out an agenda. And everybody who received the agenda, we had to go through them. They were not in sequential order. It took nights and weekends and days to go through this, and none of that was necessary.
Oh, that's not
so. So I also want to tell you that that only isn't a possibility, it is a requirement, because we are required to charge administrative fees. We chose to waive them in a certain particular instance, which I will not talk about because there were other mitigating factors and that wasn't fair to them. But only then does the public body, being the legislative branch, ask IT to look if we cannot accomplish it on our own. And we ask, the other branch of government does not ask. So that is encoded in the new law. I just wanted to make that clear. That isn't an option that any of us have. It's the law.
Councilman Tackett?
Thank you, Mr. President. And a question for Ms. Nolan then on this, because what you're saying here is, you know, pretty disturbing, you know, the fact that you apparently were presented with all the stuff which burdensome, you were already burdensome load. But what is the penalty for violating that? Let's say they grab it and go ahead and do it again, and they've searched ours and the law says they're not supposed to. What do we do at that point?
Well, I'm not speaking to a penalty or even a specific, I'm just talking about a broadly specific situation. I don't want to get into any details. I simply wanted to let you all know what the current law is, and that has to do with the FOIA request for documents from this branch of government. We answer our own FOIA requests, as was pointed out in the law by the U.S. Attorney, in the agreement we reached with the executive branch. For any number of reasons, we handle those requests internally. That is not handled by the other branch of government.
See, I mean, we hear what Greg had to say, and of course it made a lot of sense till, I guess, we break it down into this context where there has to be some type of a firewall. I agree with Councilman Smiley. I don't think a separate system probably is viable. I mean, that's going to be, but perhaps we need to engage the policy director or somebody to go out and look at that to see what kind of a firewall is put up, so therefore that side cannot go out and engage this system and run this query and then provide you with amount of documents and say, oh, here you go, because it should have came to you apparently from what we just heard, and it should have been initiated over here through Betsy, I guess, as she's shaking her head.
Mr. Wilson, you appear to have something to say?
I just want
Greg Wilson, county attorney. The one instance we're talking about, and this is an unusual instance, and I guess the exception that caused all this was when a FOIA request came in. It came into the county. It languished in the county side because of vacations. Then we tried to send it over to Carol. Carol was on vacation at the same time. So the Discovery Accelerator started to get that moving, and then we sent them over to Carol for Carol to go through rather than us to go through. Carol's talking about FOIA requests, and I'm happy to give her all the FOIA requests, and she can run all of them. And we have no desire to, and I haven't run any before that I can think of, and I'm not planning on doing them. The one time that it does get far more complicated is when you're involved in litigation. And again, I'm happy to have Carol do the discovery work because it is time-consuming to get these searches. And we don't always have a choice about what we search for. We can't just say, oh, well, we only want to search in, let's say, you know, some contentious land use case. We only want to search for this term and this term. Well, the plaintiff's going to have something to say about what terms you're going to search for, and usually they're going to try to make their terms as broad as they can. So these things do often return large amounts of documents. It depends on the search terms you put in. Sometimes you have to refine those, but we're certainly happy to cooperate with Carol and have, you know, you do as much of the search as you can stand. I think on the cost, you might want to talk to Yvonne Gordon because she's in the room. She has a better idea of the cost than quoting costs from 10 years ago. And I think the other thing that you need to note is there's a difference between having your own server and having your own network. And so there's two different things we're talking about. The server doesn't isolate you from the county system.
Council Doolin?
Carol Doolin, Council to Council. I just wanted to make a point that under council rules, it isn't Carol who reviews the FOIA requests. It's the clerk of council and the deputy clerk.
Motion to change the rules of council.
Therefore, if I'm not here, there is no reason and was no reason that either the clerk or the deputy clerk got the request, and that it was approved not only by them, probably in conjunction with the executive committee chair and co-chair. So I am not the recipient. I am not the person who wants to read these. I'm the person who conducts the legal review. Not only that, the new law requires that the least expensive person go through the piles of paper to identify
it.
That'd be us. I think it is.
So the law requires that
the least highly paid person who is capable of reviewing these documents,
well, see, there
under, the leaves us out.
Under the clerk's supervision, actually reviews them. And I only look at them for legal reviews. So my presence or lack of presence during the 5 days I was off for this particular instance was totally irrelevant to our council rules and to the procedure council has adopted and in accordance with the requirements of law.
Yeah, I mean, look, let me summarize. If anybody has anything else to say, feel free. But I think the concern has been raised that certain members of council felt that our emails were inappropriately looked at without our permission. So I think we need to look into when that or if that can occur ever. And I don't think I've heard any conditions that would necessarily provide for that search without approval. And if we feel it's necessary to put in a firewall to make sure to ensure that doesn't happen without our approval, but you know, we probably want to have our policy advisor look and see what, continue to investigate that situation and have open communications between the executive branch and the legislative branch to make sure that this doesn't happen. If whatever happened or may have happened, let's communicate on that to make sure that we don't have these type of issues.
I just want to block out the FBI and the auditor.
Councilman Street.
I realize I'm probably the least technically inclined person in the room, but I don't understand, and I don't understand based on this question. If Charlie Skate sends Betsy an email or a FOIA request and say, I want all the streets emails, doesn't Charlie get all those emails?
Not necessarily.
Carol Doolin, please respond.
My name is Carol Doolin, and I'm council to council. There are exemptions that are included in the law, and no, they do not necessarily get all the emails. There are a number of exceptions and a number of inquiries. Number one, is it a public record? Is it public business? Is it a civil investigation? Is it part of a civil investigation? There are any number of exemptions to that rule. And that's why they have to be gathered, and there has to be a legal review before they're produced, so that no privileges are waived.
But at the end of the day, any and everything that any of us write to anybody is subject to being seen, to being viewed.
Not necessarily. I think, and yeah. Council speak on this, if she would like to follow up. The answer actually is no. I mean, everything that we send out is potentially reviewable. And if it falls in certain categories, then it's exempted from that production. If it doesn't fall into those categories, then it is produced. But there are exceptions to the disclosure. So no, every email you type may or may not be disclosable. It depends if it falls into certain exceptions.
Okay, and y'all are talking about what you're talking. And I understand that. Some are, some not. But at the end of the day, it would behoove all of us not to write anything on an email that you don't want somebody else to see.
Yeah, third time that we agreed to that. Absolutely. It behooves all of us as council to not write any email that you don't want to be made public. But that's a different discussion.
But let me say, it doesn't always come down to that. My situation was, there was an email sent to the county executive that the information in that email was made public. I FOIA'd the email. The attorney general ruled he did not have to release the actual email because I did not have a right to know, nor did any other member of the public, who sent it to him. So the actual email itself was exempt from FOIA.
And consider this.
Nothing to do with the content.
And consider this, Councilman Street, also, there are maybe certain emails that are sent to you by constituents that shouldn't be forwarded.
Or by me.
Or made available to the public under FOIA, under certain exceptions. And we can't control those. But yes, the things we can control, emails we send out, obviously we're well advised to not send out any email that you wouldn't want everybody in the world to see. But emails in, different story. Again, I think we just need to make sure this issue brings up to make sure that we communicate between the executive and the legislative branch, which, as Councilman Weiner points out, are two relatively co-equal branches. Can't say that co-equal. They're definitely separate branches.
Like a marriage.
But they are very important to separate the two branches of government for the effective function of our government, not only for the government, but for the people's trust in the government. Therefore, we need to make sure that one branch isn't going to the other branch's turf. So let's make sure we communicate on that and develop a policy and institute any protectionary measures that we think is necessary.
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. There's a piece of the puzzle that appears to be missing here, and I've got a question for Yvonne, since the IS division reports to you. What is the control within the IS division that assures that they're getting the request from the proper department? If somebody is requesting emails under FOIA, shouldn't there be a control on IS that to assure it's coming from the proper department? That's one question. My second question is, what documentation has to be provided to IT to support getting access to those emails?
In terms of what you provide, IS doesn't do anything without.
Yeah, it looks like Greg Wilson's going to field this one.
County attorney, again, there are very few people that can make the request, and they're all lawyers, basically. So Carol is one, I'm one, there's a couple other, I think Wendy maybe. I'm sorry, council is one. So there are very few people that can actually approve the request that goes to IS, and IS is not going to approve the request from just John Jones and Special Services.
So there is a form then that has to come in. There is a form that has to come in with proper support for why those emails are being requested, and that's got to be signed off on by him.
Yvonne?
Okay. Yvonne Gordon, Chief of Administrative Services. In the software itself, the Discovery Accelerator software, that information resides there when the request comes in. Let me state this first. The only reason IS is in it is if an attorney, all the attorneys were trained on the software to utilize it. You wouldn't need IS, and they were trained. But that training has been forgotten or not followed through on, or it's not used as often as it should be. So that's the only reason IS is in it at all. That's why we brought the software for attorneys in the department who have the password and the access are the only ones to use it. So my understanding is when you go into that software, you see the documentation of who requested it, what the FOIA looks like, all of that information, from my understanding, is in the software. So when you access it, Bob, that information, it says right there who has authorized it, who's made the request, and that's how you go in to access the information. IS has no desire to be in that process. That's why we got the software. In fact, we're updating, we're getting new software as we speak that is even more updated and can search more sophisticated information. So it's more of a policy and a procedure. There's no firewall that will separate, that will give a neat little separation. If you desire a separate server for emails, you also have to have a separate domain for that. You have to have a separate system personnel or a third party to manage that for you. If it goes down at any point, to archive that information for you to do that. So we're talking, that is not a cross charge. I know you were discussing cross charges as we presented to council several years ago. We do direct charge now. So we would be able to directly charge for anything that relates specifically to your desire to have a separate system. So as we're looking now to have a totally independent system, we're talking $200,000-$300,000 easily to have a separate system. So that will be a direct charge. That will be cross-charged across all departments. So therefore, IS has no intentions and does not go on into that system unless it's been requested and authorized to go into it. So my suggestion is more of what the original plan was for this software is for only those legally authorized to go into that system, which are the attorneys for the FOIA information. That information you can search at any time to see who's in and out of that system. So I know Bob would love to do an audit doing that too, but you could always go in and out of that system to see at that front page of who's done that. But IS does not at any point in time unauthorized access to that system.
Let me follow up here, because we might be getting a little bit down into the weeds on this one. On as far as our access goes, right now it appears that the county attorneys for the executive's office may have access to authorized review of county council records. Is that correct? County attorneys who are authorized to search for records are currently authorized to search county council records as well?
Correct. Greg Wilson, county attorney. If we search for emails, and the only reason we would do this is in litigation, because in litigation you're usually represented by the county attorney as opposed to your counsel to counsel. I don't know of any cases in which she has represented county counsel in litigation. So when we're in litigation, either as a county defendant, or if you're individually or as a group in a defendant, then that would be in time when we might have to do a discovery search for particular key terms, be they whatever that term is relating to a particular case.
And what I think I hear pretty clearly from counsel is that the desire that search not be performed without permission of the counsel or their attorney.
search of the county records. See, we don't know what it's going to pull up, but we can certainly advise you. We send out a whole, you've all gotten those letters where it tells you you have to hold all your documents. In that case, if that case proceeds further down the road and gets to a discovery point, but we can certainly build into our procedures that we will notify you. But generally, we're not searching your records. We're searching the computer system of the county for something. If you have a term of a particular project, for example, recently, Barley Mill. There was this computer search done on Barley Mill. It wasn't for your particular documents. It was for county documents relating that had particular search terms relating to Barley Mill. Some of your emails are sent to the executive office. So if they have that search term in it, they're going to come up anyway, even if we searched only executive side. But these searches are difficult to do because of the volume involved.
Well, again, I'm not sure I was actually trying to put things together and move on, but actually what I just heard is probably more troubling rather than less troubling. So do I understand that if the county executive's attorneys wanted to search for Barley Mill and produce those records for Barley Mill, that anybody in this office who typed an email that had the words Barley Mill and sent them out to somebody, their records would be produced without our knowledge?
Barley Mill's probably a broad term, so I don't know that we would search that broad.
Fresno State fullback. Yeah. If I typed that term and sent it to a friend of mine and you searched it from the county, you would pull up my email and that email would be produced without my knowledge or permission.
Probably, yes. We can try to add another line or two to your litigation hold letter. It may already say that in there, but it already requires you to produce that. And even if it's somewhere else in your office, you're required to produce
it. We're required to produce it if we believe, after our review, that it meets the qualifications for production. We're not actually automatically required to produce blanket all of our documents with that search term until we're comfortable that it actually doesn't meet one of the exceptions.
Well,
that's, I think, the concern that you hear from counsel today. That's the essence of the concern, is that we don't have control over the process which determines whether we meet those records meet an exception or not. And the council is, I think, growing increasingly concerned about the access to their records and the production of those records without our permission and consent, because we are a separate and equal body. I understand that you're doing work for us, and that's great, but if we're losing control of our own operation as a separate branch of government, then that infringes, quite frankly, on our sovereignty. And I don't think this council is very happy about that. And that may indeed cause, unless we can work out a way to stop that, force us into a situation where we have to invest in our own separate computer system. I think we could probably avoid that, but let's work to develop these communication channels, because quite frankly, if my or any of my council members, fellow council members, emails are being produced, I would want to know about that, and I would want the opportunity for our council to review those materials first.
Okay. The only reason I laughed was because of the volume of what we're involved in. And as you know, a federal judge or a state judge trumps county council. And usually when we're involved,
don't call me.
As you know, in a recent case we were talking about, there are discovery disputes that routinely go on about what has to be produced and what has not to be produced. And rarely are the defendants given veto power over that.
Let me interrupt. We actually, if we're involved as counsel and we are, quote, defendants, then actually us and our counsel should have the power to determine what information is disclosed and if we want to dispute or get involved in that discovery dispute. Because just because it's asked for in a litigation or something is ruled upon by a judge doesn't mean that we have relinquished our rights and our responsibilities to protect that information. It's not necessarily personal about me that I don't want to get out, but if I'm communicating with a constituent and it's beyond the scope of what I think should be out there, and it could be very potentially embarrassing for a constituent who thinks they have had an expectation of privacy in that communication with me, and it's disclosed because somebody looking at it from the county executive perspective doesn't think it needs to be privileged, I haven't done my job. So I'm not abdicating, and I think all of us are clearly not abdicating our responsibility to review that material. We just need to communicate on when that's happening and make sure that our information that we are protecting our constituents and their concerns haven't been abdicated to the executive branch. That's all. Councilman, who's next? Sorry, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I wholeheartedly concur with the Council President's remarks. And this is not in any way meant to be contentious, because we're basically 99.99% of the time the same legal interests. But we have to recognize that as a separate and equal branch of government, there are times where, as a separate and equal branch of government, legally we have separate interests. And the reason, you did note correctly that council to council doesn't normally represent us, but I predate all of you here. And I can recall times when a few county executives back, this council hired our own outside legal counsel because of things that were going on in the county executive's office where our interests were clearly in opposition. And we need to protect ourselves in case we're in that sort of situation again. And we need to set protocols. Now, I thought we had a protocol already set with the Blevins Memorandum of Understanding. And with the Peterson Ordinance, the Blevins Memorandum of Understanding, it appears to me that that's being violated. Now, you know, I don't want to talk about recourse, but the Attorney General's Office exists as a recourse for all of us to seek clarification. And they seem all too willing to jump in on these areas. But I think we should be able to work it out on our own to make sure that we as a body need to be protected in case there's a future county executive that isn't as sensitive as this county executive has been to our rights and obligations.
Greg Wilson, County Attorney. As far as maybe we can do to open the communication, I don't know of any instance where we're going to produce council records that are not already part of something we have to produce in the executive office in a FOIA without referring it to counsel. So you're going to get all the FOIAs. As far as any pending cases, I issue an open invitation to Carol Doolin to come over and review the discovery we produced in any case.
Well, that's actually, Greg, that's actually not what we're looking for. And that's not what we're looking for at all. I mean, and it's not meant to be contentious. But if I have an email from me or a record from my computer, I want to know before that's going out. And I think every member of council wants to know before that's going out. We want to have that opportunity. If there's not a way to tag that information, if you pull a search and you pull it and it comes up with Fresno State pullback and it comes from my computer and my email system, you darn well know that. And I can be alerted to that before that information is provided. And we're not asking you to provide us with the thousands of pieces of information from the litigation, not from the county branch. We, county council, have a very few people. If you're telling me we're running a search and we can't, and you're retrieving that document and you can't identify the source where you've retrieved that information from, we have a problem. I think we can identify the source, that it's coming from council, and that those documents somehow get to the brought to the attention of council before that they're produced. And if we waive that or if we don't do that, that's fine. But we're not asking you to review thousands of pages of discovery from other sources, just the material that comes from our limited operations and county council. Please. And I want to get to Councilman Street first, and then if you want to jump in, Yvonne. Councilman Street?
With my not being technically inclined self, I get it now, and this is four times today. And the current situation, okay, if you make the assumption that you're going to be dealing with the kind of relationship you have with this administration and with this county attorney, okay, you can go forward and continue and be in good faith and trust it. But there's a history here of there being contentious relationship and a lot of latitude. Any door you leave open for potential mischief across the aisle is just that. And I don't see a way out of this other than a separate system. Because that's the only way
the other side could not not get into it under the search. Is it for it to be separate?
Ms. B, would you
Gordon, that's all right.
That's okay.
We're all I'm calling everybody by the wrong name today. I apologize.
At least you're calling me Miss Speedy as opposed to you. Know.
Thank you.
Yvonne Gordon, Yvonne, of Administrative Services. As I said, I'm hearing the comments. We are looking at new software. Let us at least explore the positives, the opportunities to separate out documentation to respond. Let you look at the software and examine it to make sure it does meet your needs or not meet your needs before you move forward. Before you start saying separate system, if this software might be able to respond to what your needs are.
All right. And while we proceed forward, do we need to have some understanding between the executive and the county council that our information will not be produced without our permission? I mean,
Greg Wilson, county attorney, what I can say is we will not produce it without consulting with your attorney. But you see, the attorneys have an obligation, as you know, to produce documents in litigation. And so we'll consult with your attorney on productions. But I think I'd be remiss if I didn't try to explain how complicated these things are. It sounds like it's easy to say, well, it would be Tom Kovacs' email and we're going to look for Tom Kovacs' email. But the problem is if you search for a particular term relating to litigation, you'll get your emails, plus you'll get your email that went to Joe Retta, then Joe Retta responded back, and each time that email came out, it had attachments to it. So you end up with a multitude of documents, and it's more complicated than you would think, but I'm certainly capable of working with council to council to come up with some system to have some input into this, but it's a little more complicated than it might appear at first glance.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Greg, just quickly, I understand what you're saying, and you're talking about litigation, but we were actually beginning talking about a FOIA. Yeah. So, and the fact of the matter is I guess a FOIA had come in, and it was a council employee, and policy was violated, I guess, from what we've just heard, because it should have went to Betsy, but you were stating, I'm not saying verbatim, I'm just generalizing, pretty much, I don't know, you're confused, whatever. You sent it to Carol, but she was on vacation, so you went ahead and handled it. But actually, policy states that it should have went to Betsy. And yeah, Betsy wasn't on vacation.
There were some threshold legal issues that Carol and I had already begun to discuss, so that's why it seemed that Carol needed to be involved. A lot of FOIA requests, as she pointed out, it's not so much your emails are all open, but then there are exceptions. So the question is, are there exceptions that apply? And sometimes before you even know if an exception can apply, council to council might actually have to run the discovery request to see what's going to come up. And is there something that's privileged versus something that's not privileged? So, again,
I hear what you're saying, but it's still ultimately, I think what we're getting here and what we're the general pulse is basically, you know, and since privacy was violated and policy was violated, so we're trying to get back to figure out what's going on and correct this.
Well, maybe we didn't understand the policy. My understanding was council to council would deal with the legal questions. And so now we will send them to Betsy, but Betsy still needed, if Carol's still on vacation, she's still on vacation.
But FOIAs go to Betsy and...
Please, clerk of council, please.
We do have a fairly large amount of time to respond, such that if council to council was out for a week, I would have plenty of time to confer with her before I would have to respond to the FOIA. It's 15 days. I think it was changed from 10 to
10 to 15.
We have plenty of time for me to deal with.
All right. Well, we clearly have, I think, made the executive branch aware of the concerns. I think we, as a body, pretty clearly communicated our position on this and our council to council, and I appreciate our staff. So let's have better communications, make sure we all understand process and procedure forward, and if this council feels that those procedures aren't adequate, then we'll have to investigate this, either the separation of our systems through a firewall or through a separate system. Again, I certainly hope we can avoid the installation of a separate system if at all possible. But if it comes to that, then that's a decision the council's going to have to make at the time. Councilman Renna, then Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. The only thing I was going to say was what Betsy said. You know, there's time that if Carol's not here, that the way they come back. I mean, what do we do other times? You wait till the lawyer comes back, or you wait till the person comes back from vacation, and then you work with it. What's a big deal?
Well, operating with only one council attorney leaves us strained at some times.
But you don't take 10 days off at a time.
Wait your turn.
Only gone for 5 days.
My point is, we're operating. I think below staff.
It sat on a table over there for a while. That's where the problem is.
All right, Councilman Weiner.
Yes, I just want to pick up. Councilman Smiley, it sat on the table over a while, and it should have immediately gone to clerk of council. And if there's going to be some sort of subjective decision that can be made on the executive side, where it says there are extenuating circumstances in this case where we had to make some decisions without going to the clerk of council, then I think that that's created a bad precedent that can lead to mischief, to use a word that I've heard before, and open up a Pandora's box for problems of abuse, whether it's this administration or another. Well, we've got to have clear delineation.
I think, again, the sentiment of council is this is not an indictment of anything that was done. I didn't hear that, but it's a recognition that we need to establish clear policies, and that we need to maintain our separateness, not only for our operations, but for the sense of public trust as well. We are separate and provide that check and balance for a reason. If one branch can override the other branch, even in good intentions, it erodes that system of check and balances we have in place to protect the people. So it's not just important because we want to protect our stuff. It's important for the protection of the system as well. And I think we all, Greg's nodding, Vaughn's nodding, we all understand, I think, where we're going with this, so let's proceed forward. We'll look, make sure our procedures are clear, that you understand our procedures at council level, and that we don't get into the circumstance again, because if that happened again, I am quite sure, looking around council, that we would have to make a decision that's not in the best interest of our constituents to spend the money to immediately institute a separate system. So let's make sure we work together to try to avoid that possibility. Councilman Smiley.
The only question I have, Yvonne, I don't believe this goes to you, but I'm going to look at you anyway, since you mentioned I asked. And the only overwhelming concern I have is I would like to know the process by which someone is removed from accessibility when they leave. And the reason being, I still get emails from people that haven't been with the county for years. So I would just be curious down the road as we have the discussion, what's the process that's followed when someone leaves the county to make sure that their access is terminated to those records?
We turn off their computer.
what we do is, once they're officially terminated, we get a notification from HR, and then we terminate that. We terminate access.
Their code, their access, everything. Okay, because I mean, I still get.
We don't do.
People send me emails and Rich Abbott's, and there is being with county council.
Any questions, comments, members of the public? Moving on to other. Anybody have anything for the good of the cause for other?
Does anyone want to discuss confidentiality of phone messages? No. Okay. No, I don't have anything.
Electronic data. Anyone have anything for public comment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion adjourned. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.